Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JML Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Cody Solberg, brand new to the show. You'll find his very educational and entertaining YouTube content at the Cody S YouTube channel. He's a great follow on social media. He's also a tournament angler and a fishing guide. He does a whole bunch. It's fun to get to know him in this interview, and we get into some pretty fun and interesting fishing topics as well. So let's get right to it here. Cody Solberg on the JMO Podcast.
For a great Canadian ice fishing adventure, I highly recommend Tamarack Island Wilderness Lodge, located in Ontario's Lake of the Woods, 45 minutes north of Baudette, Minnesota. On a remote island, this ice fishing destination is very unique, very big in adventure. It's peaceful, it's quiet, it's Canadian, there's no crowds. All that paired with very excellent accommodations. They have a variety of well-furnished cabin offerings that some host up to 6 guests. This place is a multi-species mecca where big adventure and great accommodations come together, and it's easy to get to. And for all the ladies out there that love catching fish and are interested in great adventures, check out the all-inclusive ladies fishing trip happening at Tamarack Island on February 6th through the 10th. More details on that event you can find online at TamarackIslandWildernessLodge.com or on Facebook. Those links are in the description of this podcast. Making great gear choices is a big deal when it comes to being efficient and effective each and every time we head out onto the ice. Head to SummitFishingEquipment.com to check out what they've got. As a pioneer of forward-facing sonar portability, their shuttle design and carbon fiber pole mounting kit make it super easy to switch from boat usage right out onto the ice. Again, head to the website. The link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code SUMMIT10 at checkout for a discount. The Onyx Fish App is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish App brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO Podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data, contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. If you have any fishing memory or fish that you would like to commemorate with a replica, or you have questions about getting fish replicas done, reach out to Jamie Rizavi from Rizavi Taxidermy Studio in New Rockford, North Dakota. Jamie and his crew do next level work here at the JMO headquarters. We are blessed to have so many replicas made by Jamie. Reach out. You can find him on social media or online at RizaviTaxidermyStudio.com. The link is in the description of this podcast. You got to tell me about yourself, man. Where are you from? Where did you, like, what got you into fishing? What got you into this whole career? You kind of seem like you're a man of many parts. You do lots of different things. I'm excited to get into it, but get me up to speed, man, and feel free to go way back. I'm just kind of curious about, you know, how you got into fishing and the whole story.
Yeah. Wow. It is, it's been a whirlwind the last several years here, to be honest. You know, I guess I always dreamed to be where I'm at today, and it's pretty surreal to kind of step back and really look at the previous years to you know, see how we got here. But, you know, really all started with a camera pretty much right out of high school. I, you know, I started filming a few of my fishing trips mainly for fun, just kind of as a hobby. And well, over the course of a couple of years, it turned into a little bit more than a hobby. It kind of turned into an addiction. And, you know, I think the first video that I posted that actually gained some traction was like back in 2018 or something. And it was a video out on the Fox River in the spring, which is a pretty popular location that time of the year. And yeah, I had a video that did pretty well, and that video is kind of what sparked it for me. You know, and I say, well, I mean, it got like 10 or 15,000 views in the first couple of days that I posted it. And ever since then, I just kind of lit a fire under me thinking like, hey, this is cool. There's people watching this. I can showcase myself and maybe teach, you know, people something about what we're doing out here. So it kind of lit a fire under me a little bit, and I decided to, you know, take that a little bit more seriously. And it quickly spun into something that I never thought it would. You know, I've collaborated with a lot of cool people along the way and have gotten a lot of cool opportunities that have kind of led me to where I am today. But, you know, that's kind of what really, I guess, started it for me. You know, and then ever since then, it's just been grinding away, you know, making cool videos, trying to come up with, you know, different things that I haven't seen done on YouTube before. Really just try to push the educational, you know, side of things in my content along with, you know, the entertainment aspect too as well. But it's pretty crazy. It's been a wild ride for sure.
Is that your home body of water? Talking about like Fox River, Green Bay and stuff like that. I mean, did you like grow up fishing there?
Yeah, I really kind of cut my teeth fishing, you know, the whole Green Bay system and a lot on Lake Winnebago too as well. And you know, I was pretty big into the salmon fishing thing too. That's something that my dad and my grandpa did. So I got introduced to all that at a pretty young age.
And you obviously do a lot of stuff on a super high level. Like, do you have like a memory or of like a moment where you felt like you were sort of introduced to things on a higher level, or is it kind of always felt that way?
No, it's definitely not always felt that way. And it is kind of funny to, you know, look back at some of the, you know, the first videos that I posted on YouTube, and it's just kind of, you watch them and you cringe, right?
But oh, sure.
I feel like every creator is going to say that you kind of come a long ways after doing it for so long. And it is kind of funny to look back at those days and just see how everything has changed, not only content wise, but mindset wise too, as well. You know, I've learned a lot over the course of, you know, the years that I've been doing this, not only again on the media side of things, but also just like in the fishing side of things too. You know, I've met some pretty great people along the way. Max Wilson was kind of one of the guys that you know, I started fishing with years ago, and he was a great mentor as far as the fishing side of things go, especially with the new technology, like LiveScope and all of that. That was something that you know, I kind of picked his brain on and really learned a lot from, and then kind of took more of it on my own hands to practice it and learn it and just become, you know, good at, I guess, at the craft, you know, to the point where I could obviously teach people effectively within video content and then also like on the water too as well. So there's definitely a time in there where, you know, not only my content was not only getting better, but just my fishability and everything on the water was getting exponentially better too as well.
Watching your content though, and following you on social media, I mean, you do some guiding in the open water season, you know, and then I may or may not see your name pop up in different competition, like on the tournament side of things. Tell me a little bit about how all of that sort of like came about and how it all blends itself together.
Yeah. Man, I kind of started doing the guiding as just a piece to the puzzle, right? Like, you know, once I started seeing, you know, the growth in my YouTube channel, you know, I was getting more views. I was getting, you know, these subscribers to follow along with my content. And I always am wanting more, and I was just kind of looking for more ways to, you know, make a living or make more money. And I wanted to be able to take on this job like full time. You know, I was still working like a normal job at the time, and you know, I was trying to find any way possible out of that. And this kind of seemed like a pretty good opportunity. You know, so a buddy of myself, just we went and took the captain's course and everything. We got our captain's license and all that. You know, everything that you have to do in order to become a captain, we went and did. I ended up, you know, passing that, and then I actually didn't do anything with that license for about a year. I just kind of wanted to like chill, make sure I knew what I was about to do, and you know, see if something like this would actually work. So I ended up incorporating, you know, some advertisements into the YouTube channel. So like I'd film a video, you know, whether it was out on the Fox or Green Bay, and I would say, hey, you know, if you're interested in coming and doing what you guys just watched, you know, I'm starting to book guide trips. You know, you reach out to me here. And I ended up getting a lot of people reaching out wanting to go fishing. So like, as soon as that started working out for me, I'm like, wow, maybe, you know, maybe this will work. So I kind of started to take on that whole aspect of it. And yeah, year one went pretty well. I ran a good number of trips. And then, you know, year two and year three, it grew faster and faster. And I think this year I'm actually going on year four now of running trips. And I'm already, my books are already starting to fill up for spring. So it's just kind of funny how it kind of all worked out. You know, like I said, every year it's getting bigger and bigger.
On the outside looking in here, and I'm just like getting to know you right here in real time. We've never spoken before this, but like I'm just trying to figure out: are you a guide that makes videos? Are you a content creator that just also guides? And then you know, it's like I was trying to like figure that out on my own, but I realized I'm just gonna have to ask these questions. But it totally makes sense that, you know, I mean, you just got different branches coming off of the tree. And you know to make a living in this industry, it's not like some big mystery. It's not a get rich quick scheme overnight for anybody. You gotta be able to diversify and do whatever you gotta do. And dude, that all makes total sense, man. That makes total sense. How would you describe yourself if you had to, in terms of like as a professional angler?
That's a tough question. You know, and I do get asked that a lot. A lot of times I just, you know, especially now, I just kind of go with like the full-time professional guide. That's just kind of the easiest way to put it. Obviously, you know, the YouTube channel continues to grow. That is not my main source of income. But as that continues to grow, you know, I hope to lessen the amount of guide trips that I have to run every year. It's tough because I really do enjoy the guide aspect of what I do. I love getting people out fishing. You know, I love teaching people. That's just kind of something that I thoroughly enjoy, along with the content creation. So I don't know. I always just kind of opt for that professional full-time guide. But, you know, content creator is also not out of the question there.
Yeah, I mean, you do a lot of it. It takes up your time. I'm glad that it gives you some level of success so that you can kind of justify doing it, because consumers like me, I mean, I really appreciate your stuff. And you're also a multi-species guy. I mean, just looking at what you do, you're definitely a multi-species guy. Is that kind of how you refer to yourself, or how would you sort of describe that and how that has gone over your career as an angler?
Yeah, definitely multi-species. When it comes to guiding, I guide for mainly two species, walleye, obviously, on Green Bay, and then salmon on Lake Michigan.
Sure.
You know, and the salmon fishing mainly takes place from like late May all the way through August. And then walleye takes up basically the rest of my time throughout the year. But yeah, multi-species ice fishing is a whole different ball game. I pretty much target anything throughout the ice season. But yeah, mainly walleyes and salmon.
Right on. What do you feel like are some of your like specialties when it comes to, you know, when you make decisions on making content? What do you feel like are your biggest flexes in terms of what your specialties are?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the last couple of years, it's been the adaption to, you know, technology. Obviously, the monster. It's no secret that live scope is just kind of changing the game, not only for me but for everyone and the fishing industry in general. And that's definitely something that I've taken the time over the past 4 or 5 years here to really dial in. And you know, that's, I would say, probably my most favorite way to go out and target walleyes, as any walleye angler right now would probably say. I don't know. It's just addicting. You know, and it's tough to get away from that. I mean, it's definitely something that I focus a lot of my content on. I know there's a lot of people out there that are looking to learn that technology. You know, and it doesn't come very easy to most. So it's very neat to get, you know, new people in the boat that really want to dial in, you know, their electronics and, you know, watching their reactions on the boat when they finally start to get it. But yeah, I mean, I would definitely say forward-facing sonar is kind of my niche.
And ice fishing, if we were to start talking about, you know, fishing that's a little bit more timely to this time of year, The other day, just kind of on the death scroll, like at some odd time of day, my YouTube addiction, and this certainly isn't the first video of yours. I wouldn't be able to know how many of your videos I've watched. But one of your more recent ones, the moon phases, I was wondering if there's any sort of story you can tell. Now, this isn't a living and breathing YouTube video that I would encourage people to go to your YouTube channel, Cody S, your YouTube channel, and watch this, honestly. But I'm just sort of curious, maybe we could kind of pick on some of your content like that one, one of your more recent ones. I thought that there were some interesting points made in it. And I was just kind of hoping that maybe you could give us like a little bit of a synopsis or a breakdown, or even maybe just a backstory as to how that video sort of, materialized for you. And then maybe a little bit of storytelling on kind of, how it went down or whatever. Obviously we don't have no visual for this podcast. So, hopefully this just kind of gets people jacked up to go over there and watch it. But yeah, I was just kind of curious, if we could just pick a video like that one and just kind of have you sort of describe it a little bit and maybe get some topics out of it we could deep dive on.
Yeah. I mean, so that video just kind of revolved around the fact that, moon majors and minors are something that fishermen look at, right? I know it's really, really big in the muskie fishing world. You don't hear about it as much, I guess, from people in like the walleye fishing world or whatever, especially on ice. But I've got a pretty good buddy. His name is Nick Goslin. He actually films and edits on the MB Edits channel. And him and myself are always kind of just joking around when we're out doing some walleye fishing. It's always ice fishing. We're just kind of joking about it, but we're always spending the night, just looking at our phones, waiting for the minors and the majors to hit. And it seems like every time we're in a major, anytime we're in a minor, again, coincidence, I'm not sure. It does hold pretty true. But anytime we are in one of those lunar phases, we get some solid action. And a lot of times we'll have, six tip ups out and we'll have, two or three out of the six go off within that time. So it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, I want to put this out there and see what other people think of it. Because this is just something that I notice when I am out walleye fishing. And, I've mentioned it in previous videos and I've gotten a lot of people asking like, what is a major? What is a minor? There's some people that don't know what it is. I just basically explain in the video that, your majors are going to be either the moon is going to be directly overhead or directly underfoot. And then your moon rising and your moon setting is going to be your minors. And there's a great way to see these now on the Onyx Fish app. You can get on there. It's an awesome app. You scroll, you go on the weather and you scroll all the way down and it shows you those lunar phases. It shows you the underfoot, the overfoot, and it shows you the rises and sets. So it was just a simple little ad that I threw into that video and I thought would maybe get some people either fired up about or maybe getting some people to agree with me. It's one of those things that I like I said, it's, I don't know that it's a coincidence. It always works for us and, joke or not, it's always something to look forward to on the ice. That's for sure.
And where were you fishing in that video?
We were up in northern Wisconsin, actually, kind of towards, we're up by Rice Lake.
Just like on inland, you're on inland water?
Yep, inland water. We fish, yeah, I guess on the ice, I fish a lot of inland water. I don't hit.
Probably safer, obviously. Ice.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like the last couple of years, it's just been so sketchy on some of the Great Lakes and even Green Bay. Like you never know what you're going to get for ice. This year's kind of been an exception, but most of the time we spend a lot more time on inland water.
It's one thing to sort of have an idea, about, majors and minors being, a bite window or whatever, but you also kind of got to be on a decent spot to make it happen. And you got to be effective in many other aspects of the game to make it all work. So I'm kind of curious about that when you're fishing inland water in northern Wisconsin. Is it a lot of clear water conditions? Are you structure fishing? Like maybe curious about a little bit of a breakdown on just how you operate when you're picking your spots and how you're setting up for this type of situation.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it's going to depend on the lake's ecosystem. Most of the water that we're fishing up there is pretty clear. You know, for the most part, when we're going to even a new body of water, what we're going to be looking for is any sort of structure in the lake, you know, whether that's big rock piles, whether that's weed edges, or maybe even just changes in the bottom, you know, from sand to gravel, anything like that. That's a lot of times what we're looking for, more or less. We're fishing weed lines and rock piles. That's just kind of our go-to, especially at night. These are going to be areas of interest for walleyes. You know, they're going to ambush these points looking for bait during those nighttime hours, and it can be easy areas to target. So that's kind of a lot of times where we start. Obviously, we'll get out. We'll use mapping to kind of figure out some areas that we think are going to hold weeds, are going to hold rocks. A lot of it's marked on, you know, your Navionics app, or even, you know, the Onyx Fish app. You can find a lot of stuff on there too as well. But basically, we'll go out, we'll drill some holes, we'll look around with the underwater cameras, and we basically pinpoint like each tip up or each set line that we're putting down. We will drop a camera, you know, make sure it's in a high percentage area, you know, whether it's 2 feet away from a weed edge or right on top of some big boulders. Like, we're really particular and really specific on where we set these lines, you know, before we let them soak for the night. So I would say that's kind of the best way that we've found success. Is to make sure that we're getting our baits in the best areas possible.
For a great Canadian ice fishing adventure, I highly recommend Tamarack Island Wilderness Lodge, located in Ontario's Lake of the Woods, 45 minutes north of Baudette, Minnesota. On a remote island, this ice fishing destination is very unique, very big in adventure. It's peaceful, it's quiet, it's Canadian, there's no crowds. All that paired with very excellent accommodations. They have a variety of well-furnished cabin offerings that some host up to 6 guests. This place is a multi-species mecca where big adventure and great accommodations come together, and it's easy to get to. And for all the ladies out there that love catching fish and are interested in great adventures, check out the all-inclusive ladies fishing trip happening at Tamarack Island on February 6th through the 10th. More details on that event you can find online at TamarackIslandWildernessLodge.com or on Facebook. Those links are in the description of this podcast. Making great gear choices is a big deal when it comes to being efficient and effective each and every time we head out onto the ice. Head to SummitFishingEquipment.com to check out what they've got. As a pioneer of forward-facing sonar portability, their shuttle design and carbon fiber pole mounting kit make it super easy to switch from boat usage right out onto the ice. Again, head to the website. The link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code SUMMIT10 at checkout for a discount. The Onyx Fish app is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish app brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data, contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. If you have any fishing memory or fish that you would like to commemorate with a replica, or you have questions about getting fish replicas done, reach out to Jamie Rizavi from Rizavi Taxidermy Studio in New Rockford, North Dakota. Jamie and his crew do next level work here at the JMO headquarters. We are blessed to have so many replicas made by Jamie. Reach out. You can find him on social media or online at RizaviTaxidermyStudio.com. The link is in the description of this podcast. And what's your setups? I mean, you know, on your set lines, that's a huge topic. I'm guessing you get a little bit of that, you know, with your YouTube channel in the comments. But it's like this, you know, more recently, it seems like there's been a big resurgence, you know, with remote set lines. And maybe this has always been kind of your winter walleye tactics. But I'm just sort of curious on, you know, the kind of gear that you're using and how you set up. Are you, you know, big minnows way up off the bottom, like, you know, just kind of, or or small mental, you know, just the whole kind of rundown, I guess, might be interesting to hear about.
Yeah. Yep. For the most part, we're using tip ups, you know, are the rod set lines. There's so many different types of set line opportunities or I would say, mechanisms out there that you can use. Beaver dams and the finicky foolers are kind of my go-to. You know, it really depends on the night. If we're going to have a really cold night, like it has been the last couple of days, you know, beaver dams are kind of the way to go. You can let those things sit. If they end up freezing in, you know, they're still going to work for you. Just because the spool and the whole assembly is underneath the surface of the water there. Mm-hmm. So everything is going to stay, you know, thawed. You're not gonna have to worry about anything freezing up. Those fish are still gonna be able to grab it and go. Most of the time we're running medium size, you know, walleye suckers underneath those tip ups, sometimes golden shiners too as well, depending on the water clarity. Like I said, a lot of times when we're fishing that clear water, shiners, golden shiners can sometimes be the way to go. You're just gonna get a little bit more flash out of them. You can run those baits up higher off the bottom. Walleyes are gonna see them from a ways away, and you're gonna find success with that. Sucker minnows, just another kind of staple that everybody uses too as well. But you know, if you're fishing some clean water, you definitely don't want those baits like only a foot off of bottom. You really want to take advantage of the water column and run those baits 3, 4, sometimes even 5 feet off the bottom. You know, those fish, if they're aggressive enough, they're gonna come up, they're gonna chase those baits, and the higher they are, the more those fish are really gonna be able to see them. So I'll kind of play around with that a lot, especially if I'm fishing a new body of water and I just don't know. You know, I'll run some baits high and I'll run some baits low and really try to figure out what those fish want. But it's always a mixture of golden shiners and walleye suckers for bait for the most part.
You know, staying on that topic of the, you know, the majors and minors, you know, is there more to it with that in terms of like when those things line up with, you know, the other like low light periods of the day, or do you feel like certain days it's more meaningful than others? I'm just sort of curious to get sort of to the next level in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you could get really in depth with a lot of the science behind that stuff, you know, as far as pressure goes, you know, the lunar phases, your low light periods just in general. You are going to be peak feeding times, whether there's a minor or not. Man, I feel like there's just a lot there.
Well, how about this? But if I was going to more narrow down that question of like, maybe sort of describe in your mind and in your experience, like if you're paying attention to the moon phases, you know, the moon influence, and you are paying attention to environmental, you know, like pressure systems, and time of year, like, do you feel like you could describe like the best of all of those? Like how could all of those things factor into being, you know, like the best potential bite window in your opinion?
Yeah. I mean, when I look at it, I am really, you know, trying to just focus on like when I'm going to be fishing. You know, obviously when we do the night thing, like we get the majors and minors most of the time throughout the night. You know, we just are always trying to be ready for those. But again, it's going to be dependent on, you know, pressure, like the environmental pressure, where that's sitting. Is it low? Is it rising? Do we have a cold front coming through? You know, did a cold front pass and it's, you know, the pressure is starting to drop again. Like a lot of it, I guess there's just so much science that goes into it. I don't understand a lot of it, to be honest. I feel like it is confusing. Like, why would the moon have anything to do with the way the fish are behaving or what they're going to eat or when they're going to eat? Walleyes are typically a low light fish. You know, so those low light periods, the morning time and the afternoon, or the, I guess the evening bite, those are always going to be typically your, I guess, go-to bites, you know, and then you're going to have those peak feeding windows midday or in the middle of the night that you'll be able to see those, I guess, those better feeding times or those better bites again, coincidence, not really sure, but yeah, that's, I don't know. It's just, it's really tough to kind of explain that, I guess. I've never,
I mean, never just, but just like you say, like, we're not scientists, right? Like, or you know, right. we're not, like, we don't know all these things, but as an angler like yourself, just through your experience of catching fish, you know, I guess I think it would be totally fair for you, you know, just to describe your own personal experience in terms of fish that you've caught where you feel like, you know, or maybe you got some specific experiences where you really felt like, and this might be easier in open water, where if you hit one of these situations where everything is just lining up and you get on a school, maybe it's been tougher fishing for a few hours, and then you get on us in a one of those situations where everything is just blossoming and your batting average like triples or quadruples, or you know, you see 20 fish and you get, you know, or you get bit 14 casts in a row kind of a deal, and then that all passes and then everything kind of settles out and then, you know, everything seems normal again. You know, if you've ever been in any of those situations, I think that stuff is just sort of interesting to hear about because, yeah, I don't think we may or may not be able to describe this stuff so much to a T that everybody's right. going to understand it perfectly for themselves, you know, from the get-go. But it is an interesting conversation that could hopefully maybe get people's gears turning a little bit. And maybe people have been through these experiences. This is where I kind of feel like I enjoy these kind of conversations because it's I like overthinking fishing and taking it way too seriously sometimes. It's because it's like my favorite hobby, right? But I feel like, man, I probably have been in some experiences where I should have been more thoughtful at the end of the day, where I maybe had a really good day, or where I just feel like, you know, maybe I just had like my best day of the year, whether it's winter or summer, and I should be more thoughtful at the end of a really good day to look back on it and be like, was there something going on there? Was there a pattern or something going on there that could be measurable that I could jot down just in my memory bank? Because sometimes it's just interesting to think about. And I guess that maybe that's my question is, have you ever felt like you just had like a lights out experience that maybe some of that stuff was to blame?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had the experiences, and it's crazy. You know, I guess it would be ignorant of me to say that majors and minors and, you know, pressure and pre-fronts and post-fronts have nothing to do with fishing. Because I've had a lot of experiences where we're fishing, you know, prefrontal walleyes, you know, not necessarily paying attention to any majors or minors, but just having, you know, evenings of fishing where it's lights out. You know, we can't keep the lines in the water, simply because there's a front on the way. You know, there's a big storm system that's starting to push in, and you know, we're able to beat that storm, get out there and have some really, really good fishing. You know, and then we have days where like we're not getting out onto the water salmon fishing until, you know, 8 or 9 p.m. simply because we know, like, hey, there's going to be a full moon tonight. There's going to be some crazy fishing going on. These fish are going to be going wild. We're going to fish all night. You know, we don't want to fish any other hour of the day, simply because we want to do the overnight thing. And, you know, most of the time we're catching limits when we're doing that kind of thing. So, you know, I've had a lot of experiences paying attention to, you know, environmental factors, I guess, that would, I guess, change bite windows or influence bite windows, I guess. So it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, I like posting about it. I like throwing some of that stuff on the YouTube channel because there's a lot of people out there that are like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You just go out there and you catch fish whenever. Well, I don't know. When you do it enough and you run into, you know, a lot of these situations, you start to just think about it a little bit more. Like you said, like, maybe I should take a step back and figure out why did I catch so many fish this time of the day? And then I spent the rest of the day casting at the same fish, not catching a dang thing, you know? So there's a lot to think about. And yeah, there's definitely a lot more that goes into it than just casting a line, for sure.
You know, and to your point before, it's like, you know, oftentimes you can't, it's probably not worth paying attention to it outside of just when your opportunities to fish are. And a lot, you know, so often it's not like we're going to, I don't know, for me anyways, and most people I know, we can't just exactly schedule our outings, you know, like, you know, any working man, family man, whatever, like we fish when we can fish, like you go when you can go, you know, given any of the conditions. Right. But I think if you fish a lot, or if you're going to be going on some kind of a bender where maybe you do get a long weekend and you're going to be, you know, maybe traveling somewhere or whatever, it can definitely factor into some of your decision making, like you said, where, you know what, like, you know, I'm going to have to get some sleep at some portion of the day, and if I'm a little bit more thoughtful and I've got a couple days of fishing to kind of validate, you know, like there's some bite windows going on, it can help you with some, you know, decision making of when you know you got to be out there. Or, you know, if you're in a situation where you're hole hopping or bouncing around or making moves, you want to make sure that you're kind of anchored into what you feel like is a decent spot. You don't want to be lines out of the water, right, during some of these times. If you're not going to choose to make some big gigantic move that might take a couple hours, especially ice fishing related, right, where, you know, picking up all your tip-ups or picking up all your stuff and making a big move on, say, a big body of water or changing lakes or whatever, like, I feel like that's where maybe some of this stuff gets left on the table. Is that fair enough to say? Like, is there, you know, as far as like expanding on the idea of you know, realistically, we're all going to fish whenever we can fish. But there are some elements to this that more, you know, in-tuned anglers like yourself and your content, I think it's great the way you show it. It's like you're just showcasing what your experience is, you know, take it or leave it. You don't have to convince people that they have to believe in it, but it is an interesting conversation. It probably sheds light on it more than a lot of people might give it credit. But there are some decisions, you know, maybe there's something you can expand on there of like, there are some decisions that we all make as anglers throughout a day where if you were thinking about this, it might affect, you know, how you operate.
Yeah. I mean, more or less, like when I'm going to go fishing, I'm going to go fishing. I don't care when the minors or majors are, I'm going to go no matter what, you know, at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, I'm going fishing. that's what I'm doing. You know, on my way there, when I get there, I'm going to look at the moon phases just because that's what I like to do. Like, I like to pay attention to that. And, more or less right now, like I like to pay attention to them simply because I want to be able to notice if I see a big difference in, you know, the bite from when we were out of the minor to when we're in the minor. Like, I just want to pay attention to that kind of thing. That way I can really kind of start to say to myself, like, okay, yeah, this does make a difference. But you know, those environmental factors, the pressure, all that stuff, that isn't influencing when I am going fishing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be out there, but if I'm going to be out there, I'm going to pay attention to those peak fishing times, because why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
You know, like why wouldn't you want to take advantage of, you know, a potentially better bite window, than there was outside of that bite window, I guess.
I agree with you completely, but I'm the worst. Like, I'm lazy. Like, I forget. Like, I'm just sometimes so excited to be out there and my head starts spinning maybe, and I'm having a tough day or, you know, all the other, I just get so worried about everything that I'm doing. That's where I feel like I forget about it, but I really enjoyed, like, it really triggered me coming across your video the other day. Like, it, you know, I just, you know, as the type of angler that I'm always trying to learn and I'm always trying to better myself, like, it's just a reminder that there can be some of these little fine details that can help you refine, you know, be, you know, a more well, prepared or just a, you know, just a more thoughtful angler, you know, in all phases of the game. I feel like I should pay attention to it more, but yeah, but what does it really look like? Well, it's not going to change how often I go fishing. I'm still working hard to fish as often as I can, no matter what. And right. I'm going to fish every chance I get, no matter what. Right. Like, I think that's an interesting thing that can spark some really fun conversations like this with a lot of anglers of like, especially when you have a good day. Was there anything to that? You know, was there anything, you know, it might help us explain, you know, when a good bite sparks up somewhere on some body of water where there is good fishing going on. And then maybe kind of when that all fizzles out, you know, it might be a deal where the bite windows changed, you know, but as anglers, we didn't make the adjustment. We just think that that morning bite is over. And maybe we think that we just kind of, you know, fished that area out, or we fished that, you know, fished that area of the lake out, and now we got to go looking for different things. But maybe, you know, maybe there's a little bit something to that. And, you know, maybe those things are lining up and it's more of an afternoon bite. Maybe it's more of a midday thing for a little bit.
Right. You know. Yeah. And I mean, it is a real thing. I mean, you hear tournament anglers say it all the time, like, oh, my fish didn't fire this morning. My bite window, I only had a 15-minute bite window and it was over. You know, like, it's the bite windows, it's a real thing. It's just, like you said, all about dialing those in.
Yeah. What else you got going on in the wintertime? Like, do you, as far as your videos and stuff, do you plan them really far ahead in advance? Do you kind of, are you like a real heavy planner in that regard with your videos? Or are you more of a fly by the seat of your pants? Like, I'm going to make a video or two this week and I'm just going to go and kind of go where the wind takes me. Like how do you operate when it comes to your content stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of always try to have a general idea of what I'm going to do. It's really tough to plan when it comes to fishing content, because you don't really know what the day is going to throw at you. You know, you can have a plan to film, you know, this certain video and it goes out and it's a bust. You could have a plan to film this certain video, go out three or four times and finally get the video. So I try to have kind of a general outline of what I want to do. You know, normally once I start getting a little later in the ice season, I really have to start looking at like, hey, what's going to get views? What do people want to watch? Because people are just kind of starting to get out of tune with ice fishing in general. You know, the later it gets into the season, people are just more or less looking forward to the open water season. So I really got to kind of look at the subjects as it starts to get a little later into the season and really try to focus in on doing stuff, whether it's educational or things that are interesting that people really haven't done before. I actually just got an e-bike in the mail today. I had a company reach out that wanted me to do a little collaboration with them. So I'm going to have to figure out how to incorporate an e-bike into, you know, one of my videos here in the near future. I know, like, Jay just did a great video. So it'll probably be something along the lines of that. Obviously, you know, always trying to make sure it's a little bit different and put my own little spin on it. But there's just so many things that you can do. I feel like that, you know, people want to watch, and then there's a lot of stuff that you can do that just becomes really repetitive. So I always try to keep my stuff fresh and, you know, obviously come up with some new ideas, but it can be tough in this industry, just with so many people doing it. You know, you gotta really try to work to stand out a little bit.
What's the story on your tournament fishing?
Yeah, this year is actually going to be my first year competing in the full series of the National Walleye Tour.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually working with a new boat brand called Finbull. I believe JJ DiBernardi ran one on the tour last year, was really loving it. And I got a chance to take a test drive with him in October last year and was really impressed with the boat. So jumping on with those guys, and they're really going to be helping me out this year and allowing me to do some things that I haven't done in the past. So I'm really looking forward to that. I've kind of cherry picked a few in the past and really enjoyed fishing them. So I'm excited to kind of make that jump and fish, I guess, my full first rookie season of the National Walleye Tour. I've done the head-to-head tournaments the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
First year went really well. We took first seed. And then I don't even remember. I think we lost our second round in the playoffs. And then last year we did pretty well last year too as well. We ended up losing to some great sticks in the championship there again. Or I should say the championship bracket. We lost to some great sticks, Eric McCoy and Steve Lobbs. So it was, that tournament series was a lot of fun. And then I do a lot of the local stuff. Some of the AIMs here on Green Bay. I did a MWC last year. And then the Duck Creek Walleye Series is always a fun little series too here on Lower Green Bay. But haven't had too much exposure in the tournament scene. So I'm really, really looking forward to kind of jump into that and get my feet wet a little bit with that.
I mean, you're talking pretty casually about some pretty competitive tournaments. fields there. When did you get exposed to that or decide that you were going to throw your hat in the ring, with any of those? I'm just sort of curious about how your evolution went there.
It's kind of something that my dad and I did growing up. He was always jumping into some local tournaments out on Lake Winnebago and a few here and there on Green Bay. And as I continued to get older and started got my own boat and started fishing for myself. Him and I really kind of started going on together and trying to fish some of these tournaments just a little bit more competitively. And I guess our biggest success was, was it 3 years ago now when they had the NTC here out of, I believe it was Marinette. Yeah, Marinette out of Green Bay here. We ended up taking a top 25 in that and getting the All-American rings. So him and I have been doing tournaments together for quite a few years now. It's just kind of been something that we've done as I was growing up.
I think that stuff's really, really cool, man. Like
it's a blast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and just talking about your education-based content, but you're also, you seem like the type of angler that's always pushing your own envelope. You know, staying fresh is just like another way of saying those things, that you kind of seem like the type of angler that's always seeking a learning environment. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those tournaments, they test your skills and they test your mind, to really, I guess, make you a better angler in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah, man. Like every time I go out, I'm trying to emulate a tournament angler, but I don't get into the turn. I don't give myself the opportunities to fish a whole lot of tournaments, but that is something that just really fascinates me. I really feel lucky to talk to a lot of tournament anglers and, people that have had those experiences, because the amount of learning that goes on, win, lose or draw. And oftentimes, the good tournament anglers talk about, the real learning oftentimes happens when you get your butt kicked. So it's almost never for nothing. If you're a passionate angler that just ultimately wants to get better.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it'll be a little bit of a change of pace. I mean, a lot of what I do is like, I go out and I'm looking for, numerous bites in order to get a film completed. So I'm not always necessarily looking for, those tournament grade fish that a lot of times you need to be successful in a lot of these bigger tournaments. I'm just going out looking for those bites that are going to give me the video or the content that I need, in order to complete a successful video. So it'll be a fun change of pace, going out and strictly targeting, those tournament grade fish and changing the mindset of, I only need 5 bites, to get me to where I need to be in the leaderboard compared to, those 8 to 10 bites to complete a video. So there's just a different mindset when it goes into it, but I'm looking forward to the year. It's going to be a fun one.
Are you going to travel with anybody?
Not really sure. As of right now, my dad's going to be traveling with me.
Nice.
Throughout the series. So he's just going to he's going to fish the first one on Lake Erie either as a pro this year or, just as a co. And then, the rest of them, he'll just kind of travel around with me and help me pre-fish. I'm talking to a few guys right now. I'm not really sure what's going to happen yet as we roll into the spring, but I'm going to go into it with, I guess, just an open mind, see what happens.
Heck yeah, dude. I'm excited to watch that, man. I'm excited to pay attention to how that goes for you. Yeah, talking about JJ and the Finval, did okay on the Mississippi River, I think it was.
Yep.
Last year, yeah, I heard a little bit about the Finval boat and just how popular they are overseas. For a lot of people, JJ and just, and you, and as time goes on, there's going to be a lot of people hearing about those Finval boats for the first time, but it ain't like they just popped out of nowhere. They're a really popular boat overseas. Have you had a chance to kind of dig into some of that history with the boat and just kind of learn a little bit about that that might be worth sharing?
Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy. They come from like a basically like a military background. So they're building missiles, they're building tanks over there. Like these are the same guys that are building these boats.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty impressive. Each boat is welded by hand. They don't use any robots. They're very precise welds. And if you've ever looked at the welds on these boats, I mean, they're remarkable. And the gauge of aluminum that they're using is like a 4-millimeter aluminum. So it's really thick, it's heavy, and it's the real deal. I was pretty impressed when I jumped in the boat with JJ last October, you know, coming from a fiberglass boat. I was a little skeptical, you know, to possibly be jumping into an aluminum rig. But I will say, like, you can't get any closer to feeling like you're in a fiberglass boat than you can being in the 685 from Finval. I was thoroughly impressed. Obviously, it isn't fiberglass, but it sure as heck rides like it. And I'm just looking forward to putting that thing through the paces this season.
Yeah. So you kind of got my gears turning now, man. I enjoy watching the guys on the NWT, and so I'll definitely be paying attention, man. I can't wait to hear about that. And but yeah, dude, anything else that pops up, you know, as far as, you know, talking about, you know, yourself, your career, the things that you're up to, anything else that we could promote or talk about that comes to mind?
Probably not at the moment. Like I said, I'm flying by the seat of my pants right now. I got a lot of stuff to finish off the ice season here. You know, we got a couple of trips that we're doing yet. I got a trip planned up to Gogebic. So we're going to be doing some filming up there, and then I will be running up to Canada yet to meet up with good buddy Jay. We'll be doing some filming with him for a few days too for some Eskimo shoots and stuff like that. So looking forward to that stuff, but yeah, it won't be long. Hopefully we'll be breaking some ice to get out on the open water.
You know, do you got any ideas as far as like any video series in terms of your preparation for the NWT season? I think that would be really interesting. Somebody, you know, an angler like yourself preparing for your rookie season on the NWT, you're obviously not a rookie angler, but to get ready for a tournament series like that in terms of, you know, gear preparation or just, you know, preparing for the timeline, you going to lean into that pretty heavily that you have plans for, or are you just kind of see where that goes?
Oh yeah. No, I'm definitely trying to cook up some plans to, you know, use the NWT as a content avenue for me, you know, throughout the summer. Obviously, you know, there's the tour level gold has been something that's really taken off, just kind of showcasing behind the scenes of what tournament anglers go through, and they've done a great job on that series. And you know, I'm by no way just wanting to replicate that, but I'm trying to come up with some different things here that you know, I'll be able to do on my own channel to kind of bring people along with me on that journey, and you know, try to showcase it to the best of my ability. Yeah, definitely working on some things there that I'm pretty excited about too. Like I said, 2026 is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun season, new boats, some new things coming down the line here. And then the tournament fishing, it's going to be wild.
Yeah, dude. You know, it's not like a big controversial statement to say that the NWT could use a little bit like more exposure for its anglers. So if I was a YouTuber that could fish at all, man, I think that's an excellent spot for somebody like you to be. And to make as much content as you possibly could, I think that it'll be fire. Like, I think the industry is like starving, you know, or that, you know, the NWT or people that follow high level tournament fishing, you know, are starving for that level of access or just to see what the heck is going on with anybody at any point in time. So I feel I could think of a few YouTubers that, man, I think that, I think the NWT should be definitely recruiting like any YouTuber that can catch a walleye at all because, you right? know, and to make as much content as they possibly could. So I'm really excited to hear that. Shoot. If anything, I'm excited that you kind of got me fired up, and now I wish all this ice would melt really fast all of a sudden.
Well, unfortunately, I think it's going to be a while.
I know. It's like, it was like with the wind chills today where I'm at, it was, I don't even want to say it. I think it was like 20 below or almost 20 below. We're kind of in the polar vortex of the season right now. So yeah, we're still making ice. It's not going backwards yet, but yeah, well, very cool, man. I'm really excited about that for you. And just for the consumers, man, I think that would be excellent. You're right. Tour Level Gold has been a big hit in the industry, and if anything, it just showcases that, man, there's a lot of space for more of that.
There is.
You know, like, and I think that it's better for everybody that's doing it for more people to do it. You know, you all bring more people to the table. Y'all kind of grow that market, you know, together as individuals bringing it in. And I, speaking from experience, I really enjoy the Tour Level Gold stuff, but it's just never enough. Right on, man. Well, I'll let you back to it. I appreciate the time here. Well, thanks a bunch. And we'll stay in touch.
Awesome. Thanks, Taylor.
All right. Later, man.
Later.